your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So here we have God commissioning Joshua after Moses is dead. I find it interesting. God is telling Joshua what is going to happen, how he's going to provide for Joshua. And then suddenly in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage." And of good courage. Why be of good courage? My first point about preparation is you need to know your mindset. Verse 5 says, "No man," right? God is telling Joshua in verse 5, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." Meaning what? Nothing is going to be against you, right? You're going to have success after success, right? Wherever you go, I'll be in front of you and I'll take care of it. Amen. But he immediately follows up and says, "Be strong and of good courage." As if to also say, "Well, I'm still going to go ahead of you. You will face a future that will test you." I wonder why that is. Ever face situations where it seems like God just opened a door for you? Something slams right at you. And you're like, "What gives, God? I thought I'm supposed to go. I thought you have the way cleared out for me." But I'm facing obstacles after obstacles. Here God says, "Be strong and courage," right after giving the good news to Joshua. Oftentimes, I start thinking of the outcomes of things I'm preparing for, and I get discouraged by its foregone conclusions. And so I start to lose heart and give up finding positive in it, and sometimes even stop preparing for it altogether. How many of you feel like that sometimes? Is it just me? Come on, guys. What's Thanksgiving like for you guys? What's Christmas like for you guys? Aren't there situations where you know you got to see this uncle of yours? Or you have an aunt that just won't stop gossiping and you're like, "No, please not." Right? Come on. There are situations where you feel like, "Oh, Thanksgiving is in November. I got to prep now." I'm like, "Man, I got to figure out what I'm going to eat. I got to figure out how much I'm going to eat. I'm going to figure out where I'm going to be in the living room so I can talk to this person for X amount of time before I go here and then say my goodbyes and go on," right? There's a lot of preparation that goes into it. Sometimes almost I'm like, "Oh, no, I'm not even going to think about it." Or for you guys in a workplace where you have the weekly meeting that could have easily just been an email, right? But instead it takes 2 hours and you sit there bored out of your mind, not contributing anything to the discussion, and you leave the meeting later thinking it was a time suck, and then it ruins the rest of your day. But God says, "Be strong and of good courage." Amen. Be of good courage. And I think about mindset. What about church? How many of us come to church with a mindset of, "I want to be in church and enjoy the presence of God, therefore I'll set aside that time with God," versus, "I have to go to church because I'm a Christian, and that's what I do on a Sunday, so I'll just do it for 1 hour. Thank God Hope Chapel only has 1 hour services. Hopefully it'll be a good service." You see the difference? What mindset do you have coming in here today? I hope all of you want to be in church and experience God, right? In fact, what would you do if I came here this morning to preach, and instead of telling you what I'm going to preach, I go, "Kelly, got anything you want me to share today? Should we go over something in the Old Testament? Should we go something about in the New Testament? Got any scriptures you want me to look at? Let's go and talk about it together." I wonder, though, well, justifiably so, that you came here and you expected me to prepare a sermon. You expected the worship team to be prepared to lead us into worship. But really, when you came here, did you prepare to receive? Because last I checked, if you read Matthew 13, the harvest is determined more by the quality of the soil than the quality of the seed. Amen? How many of you came here today with the mindset that you're going to be ready to praise God before service started? That you're going to commit to memory what you heard today by either writing it down or listening with full attention? I see some of you writing notes. That's great. I see some of you not. Okay. How many of you came to church, the 9 a.m. service, with every intention of staying past 10 o'clock and experiencing the afterflow instead of getting a donut or going on with the rest of your day? I'm not trying to call you out individually. I hope you know that. I'm not trying to. But your mindset is going to determine your level of preparation, and your preparation is going to determine the level of your experience with God. Ephesians 14 tells us, the purpose of the church gathering regularly is to train up the believers so that they may observe and serve Christ. But do we get trained up from having a mindset that says, this is what I have to do on a Sunday, versus this is what I want to do on a Sunday? Number two, to be prepared, you need to have the right equipment. One thing, to be honest, COVID has been good to the Liu family. Praise God, no one's been sick. We actually got to spend more time with Eliana because of COVID. We got that intimate time as a family. I remember when Eliana was born, usually the moment you tell somebody baby's coming, they all want to come to the hospital, right? But we didn't get that opportunity. No one came to visit us at the hospital for 2 days. And I thank God so much because in those 2 days, that went by so fast that I was like, I don't know how I would have done it if people was coming to visit us. But during COVID, one thing I really miss is having the ability to play squash. I don't know if you guys know what squash is. It's a game that you hit, kind of like racquetball. You hit it in the court. Racquetball is basically the closest thing to it. I just picked up squash again in 2018 after not having played for 18 years. I was captain of my high school team. And so I love playing squash. I grew up playing squash and badminton. But when I came here, it got too expensive. And for a while, I stopped playing squash. But then I picked it up in 2018. And now, this is a little plug for squash. It's actually one of the most healthiest sport on planet Earth. It'll test everything that you have, from endurance to strength to speed to agility to thinking. It's kind of like playing chess while running. So pick up squash if you can. There's only like 2 courts in Orange County, unfortunately. Now, in squash, just like any other sport, there are certain things you need in order to play it. You need a squash racket. You need a ball that's appropriate to your level. You need the right kind of attire and the right kind of shoes. Now, out of all the items that I would need to play squash, there's one thing that I need to have always that I need to provide for myself at all times. Can you guess what it is? Some say ball. Water. Mindset. Focus. Those are all good. You can actually play squash anywhere, really. As long as you have a wall, you can just kind of hit it. But no, the one thing you actually need in squash that you have to absolutely provide for yourself is your shoes. See, squash is typically a 2-person game. So for the most part, if you don't have a racket, somebody else will always have a backup. The person will most likely have a ball. You know, you can play in your jeans if you have to. A court game, you need to have proper shoes. If you play in dress shoes, you're going to slip and fall and break a tailbone. And so the shoes is really important. There's so many equipments that I need to play squash. But you need to identify what is the absolute must equipment that you have. Now, as Christians, right, we too have many tools and equipments that allow us to be better prepared Christians. And it shouldn't be a surprise when I say the number one tool that we need is what? our Bible, right? The Bible is our manual. It is where we get our teachings from. It's where we are guided from and ministered from. But just like any tool, we need to know how to use it, when to use it at any given time. I actually have my squash shoes in my car at all times. It's just sitting in my car. I actually have two pairs, actually. So if I ever get a chance to play squash, I at least have my shoes. But the thing about squash shoes, too, is I can only use it in a squash court. I cannot use it anywhere else, because if I do, it will ruin the shoes. Do you have a Bible, and do you know how to use it? Or is it sitting on your coffee table as a decoration? Or is it an app on your phone that you might have to reinstall from time and time again because you don't use it or you ran out of space? A life of preparation means, like in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, what? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Lastly, point number 3, you need to train to be prepared. You need to know your training. See, by verse 9, I find it interesting, God has said to Joshua, be strong and of good courage 3 times. 3 times he gives you good news, but 3 times God tells Joshua, be strong and of good courage. I wonder why. I think it's really because to be strong and to be of good courage, you actually need to know what that is like. You actually need to train yourself to know how to be strong and how to be of good courage. God is saying, I will have your back, and you'll do great things. I'm with you wherever you go, but you will see things happen by being strong and of good courage. I like this quote from, I'm going to butcher his name, but it's Archilochus in 650 BC. He said this, we do not rise to the level of our expectations. We fall to the level of our training. The reality is you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know what it looks like, what it feels like to be strong and courage, how can you expect to be strong and courageous when you face a difficult situation? How do you train to be a Christian living in today's society? What does your training look like? Are you intentional with your Bible reading? Are you intentional with your prayer time? Or do you read for the sake of reading, trying to do our Bible plan in 1 year and hopefully get a Norm's dinner out of it? Do you commit to memory what you read in the Bible so that if somebody was to ask you a question, you're able to point to Scripture and encourage them out of it? Notice I say encourage, not correct them, but to encourage, there's a difference. How regularly do you share or practice your testimony so that you are prepared for a conversation with a non-believer? In OSL, we learn how to condense our testimony to fit within an elevator pitch. So anywhere between 20 seconds to a minute. How often do you practice that and tweak it so that it fits that time frame and ministers to somebody? Recently, I bought this medical kit for my go bag, and it sits in my car just in case I need it. This kit has everything I need to treat a severe trauma at the point of injury. It's a great kit. And pretty much everything in it, you can use it just by opening it. Except one thing. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I just found out my tourniquet does not come prepped. Anyone ever used a tourniquet before? Yeah? It actually does not come prepped. In fact, you actually don't want it in the packaging in case you need to stop a bleeding. See, my tourniquet comes like this, and I actually need to unravel it and then put it over this buckle and then prep it to be able to use it, right? If I had not opened up my kit and gone through the contents of it and learned how to use this, I would have not known that this was not prepped I would have wasted precious time in that moment that I needed to prep it and then put it over. Right, a tourniquet is meant to stop blood flow. And so typically if you have a blood flow coming out, you're most likely in pain. And if you're in pain, how many of us know you're not thinking straight after that? Right? In the midst of stress, I'm not suddenly going to know how to prep that tourniquet or how to use it either. I need to train beforehand.
Yes, sir.
So that in the times where I need it, I know how to use it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to call up the worship team now. Oh, I ran over. I'm sorry. Preparation. It's a word we do not like in our current generation. But I want to conclude with this. I want to encourage you to have a life of preparedness. To constantly have a kingdom mindset that wants to seek God and the desire to always chase after His presence. I want to encourage you to find the tools that will make you a better witness for Christ, especially when you least expect it. And lastly, to continually to train yourself to respond to your day-to-day living with the gifts of the Holy Spirit at all times. I want to invite the prayer team up as well. And I'll dismiss you shortly if you have to go. As we transition into the afterflow part of our service, I really want to encourage everyone who's here today. Choose prayer over donuts. Choose a time of God with God over brunch. Let God just have a few more minutes of your time today. Just a few more minutes. I hope this message encourages you. I hope it speaks to you. And I hope that you're able to practice it out moving forward. Let me pray. As everyone stands with me right now, Heavenly Father, I come to you prepared, Lord, wholly prepared to be in your presence, without any agenda, without any thought about my current situation. I just want to be in your presence. And I pray, Lord, that you give that same revelation to everyone in this church right now and those that are watching the live stream. Let us be a people who chases after you, who seeks after you with arms wide open and not give you breadcrumbs, Lord. Let us renew ourselves day in and day out by choosing you, Lord, and not choosing the things of this earth. I welcome you right now, Lord. Even as individuals come looking for prayer, we just minister each and every one of us. Open heaven up, Lord. Let it rain. Let just rain down your love and your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say, amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.